So I decided that I'd like us to look at the idea of integrity, and this is what happened to me Friday morning. I have been known to go to the Plaid Pantry for Diet Coke often over here. My friends at the Plaid Pantry know me well. So Friday morning, I go over to the Plaid Pantry, and they were out of Diet Coke, and I go to the fountain drink, and I get Diet Dr. Pepper. Don't ask me why, because that's really awful stuff, but it kind of burns my throat and makes me feel better on Friday morning. So I get a whole thing of Diet Dr. Pepper, and I go back to my car, and all of a sudden, a strange young man, he's not strange, but he's just not known to me, is getting my attention and says, "The clerk wants to see you." I'm looking at the clerk, and I look at my Diet Dr. Pepper, and it said, "Oh, I haven't paid for this Diet Dr. Pepper." I said to the clerk, "I'm sorry, I'm preaching a sermon on integrity, and I was thinking so hard, it never occurred to me to pay." Oh, what Jesus teaches us, huh? So I want us to think about integrity. And we could spend a whole Lenten series on these scriptures about anger one Sunday, adultery another Sunday, divorce, oaths. And further on, it goes about retaliation and enemies, love for enemies. We don't even get there. So I want us to move to the next level and combine all four, but if I get a chance, I want to mention a divorce because there's a little difficult language in there. But I really want to encourage you to think about this language that Matthew gives us. Imagine that if you were choosing which part of the scriptures or what Jesus was teaching about to your folks, you're going to want to choose the areas that they're most struggling with, or the ones that will encourage them the most. So we just had salt and life and the Beatitudes, and now Matthew puts in these different parts. The guess is, the theory is, and I'm with them, the commentators, there probably was some struggle going on in this new Christian community that was of Jewish descent, right? That there probably is some adultery maybe going on, or that there's anger and people don't know how to support one another, or possibly that there's swearing and oath-taking, and that was a very ugly thing to do to one another. So Matthew's actually trying to help his community. I think we can make a case that wisdom literature, the scriptures, are always trying to improve lives. Maybe we don't always do it well. The way we interpret it isn't done well. But that really is the purpose. So I want us to think about integrity. And I got three different ways for Americans to think about it, and two of them are sports. So I apologize. But I think we're being forced to not be integrity. Or actually, we encourage folks not to have integrity. And I'm wondering if this is worldwide, but I can only speak about what's happening in the United States. I watch football. And in the National Football League, often the quarterback is the most expensive player, $20 million, let's say. And they throw their balls out to wide receivers who make $750,000 or $800,000 a year. A lot of money. Don't get me wrong. So this is what happens. Your quarterback, you throw the ball, and this is what we often coaches will train their wide receivers to do. The ball hits the ground and then pops up into them, and they catch the ball. But that's not a normal catch. That's illegal, and they don't get credit for it. So what do we train our wide receivers to do? "Hi, I caught it. I'm the best wide receiver ever. Woo!" And they try to cheat the referee from seeing. And if you do it well, you get probably more money. You're probably like, "Wow, great job. You're helping the team. We're moving forward." Or if you've watched soccer in Portland, both not so much the Thorns as the male team, coaches will train their soccer players, if they get hit a little bit, "Whoa, fall to the ground, jump up and down, I'm hurt." And hopefully the referee will give them a yellow card, or at least let them kick the ball free from there, right? Or if you ever talk to, maybe some of you are an insurance agent, and after this will tell me how wrong I am, but I'm told that insurance agents often will say, if you're in a car accident, never admit to guilt, even if it's your fault. Don't do that. I think integrity is pretty tough, and I think there's lots of other ways that we can think about it in our own life, in our own journey. We are not encouraged to live a certain part of our lives of integrity. Maybe it's the outside life of ours, like the football games or the car, but our lives inside as family or in your own business. So I want us to think about Jesus teaching what Matthew is helping these folks to live lives. You know, when a city does city ordinances, They have the code, the city code. Friends, that's the minimum. That's not the best thing you can do. Now, we in America and most anybody else in the world, I would imagine, hate having to bring things up to code. It costs a lot of money. But really think about the integrity of what the process is. Somebody believes that this is the minimum that somebody should do to their house or to a washing machine or whatever the minimum code is to bring it up. Jesus is dealing with minimum codes. He's using the Old Testament Torah to help these people live their lives, whether it's about adultery or oath, whether it's about anger. But what he does and what Matthew points out to the community is he raises the bar. Like, you've heard what it means to be an adulterer. I say to you, I want to talk particularly about divorce. This is huge what Jesus says about divorce. I mean, huge. Because before this teaching, women were property. And you could give a woman a writ of divorce if you're a man. And what would happen? Nothing. The woman would be left destitute often. There would be nothing available to them. And Jesus says, and we've misinterpreted probably, 2,000 years later, don't ever divorce. And he talks about it in terms of adultery too. You have to see the woman as valuable. You can't just leave her destitute. You've made a commitment. Don't do the minimum. Raise the bar. Live a life with more integrity. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. That's the minimum. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Very complicated. What I simply want to say for many of us who have divorced here at Westminster, that divorce is meant to be a way to live a life of integrity. And when we say in American culture, we're getting divorced, it's because it's based on the integrity of the commitment from the beginning, the very beginning. And so Jesus is raising the bar to live a life better and saying, it can't be the minimum. You really have to live and admit to your life as fully committed. And what I would say to those of us, I haven't been divorced, but to those of you who have been divorced, you've committed your life, you did the very best you can, and with integrity have said, this can no longer work. That's a very different way than rule, you can never divorce. It's living a life of integrity. Friends, I think it's very difficult. I think this is one of the reasons why the millennials, when they ask the question, why do I need to believe in Jesus? When the folks who are GI generation, why do I have to believe in Jesus? What I always encourage when I was doing youth ministry, what I encourage you today, living a life believing something bigger than you is really what we're all called to do. I do it through God. I truly believe that living a life as a follower of Jesus encourages me. I am a better person. And then when I live in community with all of you, you make me better, and hopefully I make you better as we live lives of integrity. So there's a guy named Stephen Carter, and I'm going to use his understanding of integrity so that you'll have a feeling for what it is that I'm thinking about. He wrote it 20 years ago. It's a great book. The title of the book, Integrity. 3 steps to it. Discerning what is right and what is wrong is one step of integrity. Acting on what you have discerned, even at a personal cost to you, is the second. And then third, saying openly that you're acting on your understanding of what is right or wrong. So you have to know in your own heart what is right or wrong. You act on that, whether it's right or wrong. And you might even say openly, I'm doing this because I believe this is right. I think integrity is really tough. I think Jesus' act of love is to encourage us and the community that we live in to live better lives. So this is the great story about when you have relationship at the plaid pantry. I go back in to pay for my Diet Dr. Pepper. And what does the guy say to me? Oh, I knew you just forgot. The next time you came in, I was just going to remind you. That's relationship of integrity within relationship. I've always paid to the best of my knowledge, there at Westminster. I've always paid, right? But I have this relationship with this guy. I know it's a silly relationship, but friends, that's the kind of stuff that happens. So that when the person at a Baker Square at a restaurant, the server notices that George Smith hasn't been into lunch and he always come to lunch, they call the police and say, I'm worried about this George Smith. And they go and check on him and they find there's something wrong. Those relationships of integrity and of love help us be better. So yes, I think that it helps us to think about it. I'm not worried about rules. I'm not going to tell you not to swear. I'm not going to tell you to not divorce. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't be angry. What I'm going to say to you is when those things happen, how do you live a life of integrity? Somebody in the, we were talking about this today in the Tooth Marks group, and one of the Tooth Marks members said that they went and realized that they had taken a whole thing of potatoes and had not paid for it because it was at the bottom of his vehicle. And so he realized it as soon as he got home, and he went all the way back and paid for the potatoes. Were they happy about him paying for the potatoes? Did the people around who saw him do this act, did they encourage him and say, hey, good job? No, he was made fun of, right? Why are you paying for those potatoes? I said in my mind that maybe possibly even people thought, hey, that grocery store makes so much money. What do they worry about a bag of potatoes that you didn't pay? And this person in Tooth Mark said, but I knew it. I knew what I had done. It was my relationship with myself and with this community. And I'm using my words to explain what happened. So here's what I want to encourage the end of our thinking together about integrity, living a life of integrity. First of all, the scriptures are helpful. They really are. If nothing else, it gets us into a conversation about how to choose to live your life. Being a follower of Jesus makes it that much harder because then you hold yourself to a standard that others should not hold you to. That's not what the rule of Christianity is about. It's about living in community with each other, but you choose the standard that you want, that you believe God's calling you to. And then third, it's acting on it. And friends, to live a life of integrity is pretty tough. You will be made fun of for paying for a bag of potatoes. But I also have good experiences of going back and paying for Diet Dr. Pepper and being thanked. It's not about what the relationship, what does there. It's about living a life of integrity. I want to encourage you to do that. And I want you to encourage you so much so that I would like you to be uncomfortable this week. Choose one area of your life. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's the post office. Maybe it's how you treat servers. I don't know. But I think each time we pay intentionality to who we are and whose we are, that living a life of integrity is helpful for the whole community. I have one little subject about politics. I don't think you start there. Do not accuse others of not living a life of integrity. Human politics is nothing more than people learning to live together. So government politics, neighborly politics, don't start with politics. Start with yourself and how you want the world to be seen, and then try to live it that way. God is calling us to live a life of integrity, love, justice. But this day, Matthew reminds us it's pretty tough. And if you know what the minimum is, move up. Go to God's glory places. Go to Greg Neal places. Go to George Smith places. Go to the better of yourself, the betterment of yourself. And you continue to move forward. And you're going to make lots of mistakes. But friends, God loves us so much that he believes, she believes in us so much that God calls us to live in and with integrity. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to you. Amen.